Today on Real Radio.
What does matter is that we apply the truth to us. That's what matters. Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do, man. Well, who is he? He's cool. I didn't ask you if he's cool. I asked you, who is he? He's like an enlightened one, you know? He's like one of the biggies. He's my big friend in the sky. I don't think you know Jesus. It's not the same Jesus I know.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and we'll be looking at a verse that is quite familiar to many of us. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But exactly what does that mean? Let's find out, as our teacher demonstrates from God's Word, in a study called The Truth Shall Make You Free. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Jesus hits people with the good news, and he doesn't apologize for it. We so often give people the gospel and the gospel truth, and we'll see people kind of go, you know, like they're going to blow up or something. What's going on? It's very likely that the conviction of the Holy Spirit is coming upon that person because the truth has been proclaimed. We see that happening, then we kind of backpedal. Well, you know, well, what I mean is, oh no, let the Spirit have his work. Jesus preached the gospel. He gave it out there, and he let the chips, as we say, land in the hearts of men. And it's the responsibility of every person to determine or to decide. Well, in John chapter 8, Jesus is going to make a radical declaration about truth. And that truth will make us free. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31 in our teaching and our study together, verse 31. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him and said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you've seen of your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he has sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He was of God. Here's God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Can you imagine hearing this? What if somebody were to say this to you today? What if it were a mere man saying these words to you today? What if somebody after service walked up to you and repeated these words to you with conviction? What would you do? Can you imagine the very Son of God speaking these words to you? As I studied this scripture, I began to be extremely antsy and concerned about being in the shoes of these people who are there and hearing what they heard. The title of the message this morning is "The Truth Shall Make You Free." And when I speak of the word truth in my own mind and the word free, I cannot help but think, and as we see this morning, slavery. And sin, as Jesus is teaching us, is something that wants to bring us under its control. And we need to realize as we look to the Bible, not only does it record slavery in biblical times, but you and I know, we do know our history, that slavery is something that still takes place today. It was the passion, it was the heart of Abraham to be a slave of God rather than a slave of Chaldees and of Ur, where he grew up. It was a desire of God's people to be slaves to God. It's a liberating and wonderful thing to be a slave of God, but the world has not yielded to God. And when the world has not yielded to God, there is slavery to man and slavery to the world system and slavery to sin. We in America, we want to believe that we don't hold to or have slavery anymore. But the fact of the matter is, wherever there's sin, there's slavery. You know, we say that all men are free in America, yet men and women are bound by sin. I think we are, as a nation, bound more by sin than any other time in our nation's history. We have dressed it up. We've made it look somehow respectable. But it's sin, bondage. It is slavery nonetheless. Jesus says that he wants to set us free, and that truth would set us free. And so slavery, not only the spiritual aspect of slavery, but slavery has existed in the world. And wherever there's the evil, totalitarian dictatorship in a man's heart, there'll be slaves. From the earliest of days, little state nations, nation states, packs, tribes would form and go conquer somebody else, killing the men and taking the women and children as slaves. And that is something that is horrible, but yet true in the human nature. And call it what you want in this day and age. The fact of the matter is there are people that are bound in slavery. And I've got to tell you, as we dive into this message, please forgive me. I honestly, and just kind of going through this in my mind, because I'm an American, when I think of slavery, I think of Black America and early America and slavery. And I think, and I remember the songs that have come out from Black slavery. They're the greatest hymns in the world. And when I look at this stuff and I tell you, I can really get into it. And if you know, you listen to those old songs or you begin to preach this message. And I fought the tendency just reading it to slip into some kind of a Black slave type song. Because if you know them, they're awesome. Why? Because they were in slavery and the only hope that they had was Jesus Christ. But the truth of the matter is, it's not that you're red, it's not that you're white, black, yellow, brown. Did I forget any colors? What if I did, please forgive me. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter what color you are. The fact is that we all are slaves until Jesus sets us free. Sin leads to bondage, and bondage leads to slavery, slavery of sin, and to it. So in our study together this morning, we're going to jot down 4 points, and the first one is this: the truth shall make you free. And we want to ask this question, who is a real Christian? In light of what we're reading, we want to ask this question, verses 31 to 33, who is a real Christian? Who really is? Let's look what he says here, verse 31. Scripture says, then Jesus said to those who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. First thing I want to point out here in verse 31 is this, that whoever the real Christian is, he's going to be someone who longs for the presence of God. There's a hunger inside. There's a desire. It's not mechanical. You're not doing your religious Christian kind of thing that the pastor or the church or the people or your group or your friends are dictating that you should do. You don't go through mechanical religious acts. The fact is, because you're a Christian, a true, real Christian, and the truth has set you free, you will long for the presence of God. Listen, many of you, I pray all of you inside, have got this hole that's been filled by God, but also there's a little bit of a leak or a crack, I want to put it that way. There's a little bit of a pinhole. Even though Christ has filled you up, and that little pinhole cries out and it says, I've got God, but I want more of him. Do you know what I'm talking about? I want to know more. I want to be more. I want to have more of God. I want God, listen, to have more of me. You're longing to have a deeper understanding of the presence of God. And you'll find wonderful Christian books of people who have gone on before us, some of the great people of faith. Why? Because you're longing more for the presence of God. When Jesus said in verse 31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Look to whom he said it to. Now, this is a debate, people. I'll give you both opinions of this debate. Verse 31, it says, as he spoke these words to those Jews who believed in him, it takes you back to the previous study. But listen to this. Jesus, in the earlier chapters of John, when he was in Jerusalem, it said that many believed in him, but Jesus didn't commit himself to them because he knew what was in them. So what are you saying? Well, one view is this, that the words in red that you see in your Bible, he is saying it to those who believed in him. That means they said, they made the announcement, I believe in Jesus. So then he turns to them and he says, then abide in my word. And by the way, if you do, you'll be set free. Now, either they responded vehemently to that, even though they believed in him, believing's not enough. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you work your way into heaven, but your belief must take you to faith. Many people believe. Most of the world believes in Jesus. But are they going to heaven? No, not until their belief takes them to faith in Christ. Now, the first view is that these people are mentally ascending to the belief in Jesus, but they're not trusting in him. That's one view. And he comes out to them and he says, listen, you need to be free. And they take an offense to that. The second view is this, that to those who believed in him, he had no problem with. If you read the preceding verses of John chapter 8, the argument is with the religious scribes and Pharisees, that these are the ones whom the red letters of Jesus apply to here. You see? Which view is correct? Nobody knows. Does it matter? No. What does matter is that we apply the truth to us. That's what matters. Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do, man. Well, who is he? He's cool. I didn't ask you if he's cool. I asked you, who is he? He's like an enlightened one, you know? He's like one of the biggies. He's my big friend in the sky. I don't think you know Jesus. It's not the same Jesus I know. The Jesus that rolls off of our lips is the one, when we do say his name, we're tempted to bow our knee when we say it. He's God, the Bible says. He's the creator of the universe. He's the savior of the world. Who is a real Christian? One who longs for the presence of God. Having slavery in mind in the audience of what Jesus is speaking, this is a very wonderful thing. Because listen to this, the early church was predominantly made up of believing Jews, Jews that had come out of Judaism into what is called Christianity, that is to follow Christ. They were called Christians. The church was, in its inception, Jewish. But the first converts to Christianity were slaves. Most of the believing church in the early church age was that of slaves. Not a very elite group of people to be around, huh? not a very vogue group of people, slaves. Keeping that in mind, when Jesus says these words, you shall be made free, if you were a slave and there were tens of thousands of them living in that day, you would have longed to have heard these words. I can be set free. See, that doesn't excite you if you think you are free when in reality you're not. But if you know that you're not free, you're a slave. When someone like Jesus comes on the scene and says, you can be set free, are you going to run to those words or run away from them? Because of your dire condition, because of my dire state, I'm going to run toward those words. Are you with me on that? It's very important. Because slavery was so prevalent in that world, the words that Jesus spoke are incredibly powerful. He says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And this word abide is a great word. You might want to jot its meaning down. The word abide means to take up residence, to live with, to have a dwelling with or among. It's a cute term, also known as pitching your tent. Hey, pitch your tent with us. Live with us. We would say today, move on in. Let's dwell together. Come on. Let's just be, a family. We'll just bring the families together. We'll have a great time. That's what's so fun about camping, isn't it? Camping's kind of fun for a couple days. Then it's time to send that precious family on back home. But it's great. It's all this camaraderie, and everyone's eating out of the same plate and drinking out of the same cup, and it's like, it's family. You're together. Abiding. Jesus says that the key to being set free is number one, abiding, living in his word. That's number two, the most important thing, the logos, the word of God. Abiding, if you're a slave and someone says, hey, you want to abide? It's like, are you talking to me? I'm a slave. I'm scum of the earth. You want me to come into your house? Yeah, come on in. Jesus says, come on in. That's why all the rich people of his day went, who needs him? But that's why all the poor people, the Bible says the outcasts, the poor, the publicans and Democrats, and they went, hey, that's something. He offered me to come on in. Jesus says, abide in my word. Number two, as I said, the word, the logos, the word, the command, the truth. The spoken word. Listen, slaves were very conditioned to respond at the command of their master. When their master, by the way, in that culture, when their master said something, if they didn't do it to their liking, they were killed on the spot. Killed. Their slave had no rights. None. You could do anything you want to the slave. By the way, in the Middle East today, if you are a wife in the Islamic world, you are a slave. Did you know that? And that husband can do anything he wants to you. He can kill you if he likes. If you burn his eggs in the morning, he can have you killed. He can have you ordered. He does have to say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you three times. Then you can be killed. No rights. Being a slave. And Jesus says, abide. Come on in. And by the way, my word, my command is this. As a slave, when they hear this, they would like, yes, what's the command? Now that I've moved inside, it's kind of like someone you've invited in. It's so sweet. They've been maybe homeless, and they come on in, and they're like this, right? They're like this. And then you say, hey, this is my command. Yes, the slave is used to obeying. Yes, master, what is it? Oh, Jesus is going to say, you're my son. More on that in a moment. John chapter 14, verse 23 tells us, Jesus answered and said to those, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He said, Jack, I've heard that verse before. Yeah, but have you heard this verse? When Jesus said in John 14, 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. How do you view that? Do you take that as a mean old command? Or do you take it as a slave and say, yeah, I'll keep it. What is it? I'll do it. Why? Because you serve a great and awesome master. No longer the world, but the Lord. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And then here again, John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Abiding in Christ and performing his word is the joy of the slave of God. But we've been conditioned that all slavery is bad. I want to introduce to you this morning that slavery to Christ is a great liberating thing. And where are you in the factor? Because a slave could only be set free by his master's word, this is extremely significant what Jesus is saying. In verse 32, he says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." That is one of the most famous scriptures in all of the Bible. You shall know the truth. And by the way, he says, the truth will make you free. The word definite article, the, in front of truth is extremely powerful. He's not saying a truth or truth. He's saying the truth, which implies not only is there the absolute truth of God, but guess who is it? He is. Look at it again. You shall know the truth, and the truth, he could have pointed to himself. You shall know the truth. He points to himself and the truth. You get it? Will set you free. I like that. Makes me kind of want to shout it, you know? Are you free? Jesus says the only way that you can be free is if you know the truth. Jesus is basically saying here, the message I'm giving you is truth and I am it. And they understood him very well. His argument is that he is the truth and that you can be free right now, no matter of your status. Free from slavery and slavery of sin, ultimately, of course. By the way, there's a lot for us to be free from. There's freedom from our emotions. A lot of people are governed by their emotions, you know. There's personal restraints and slavery that people fight with. You can be free from that. Don't get me wrong with what I'm about to say on this one. There's financial freedom. I'm not saying God's going to make you rich, but I'm saying that as God's people give to God, God blesses them back. He will never become indebted to you. It's a Old and New Testament law of God. There's physical freedom. Well, are you saying that God heals everybody? No, I've prayed with more people this last week and a half that didn't get healed, but amazing, praise the Lord. And why am I surprised? Because I don't have enough faith. A week and a half ago, I prayed with a woman right on the front here after a service, and she was completely healed of cancer. In fact, she was going in the very next day for massive surgery. And they got her into the hospital room, into the OR, and they got her all mapped out for surgery, and they did their last final mapping of where they're going to cut in, and they couldn't find the cancer. They couldn't find it. So then they pulled out the machine, brought in another machine. They couldn't figure out what was going on. And for such a long time, she was out on that table, and the doctors couldn't find the cancer anymore. They unplugged everything. They sent her, got her it. She went home. She's perfectly fine. I saw her last Sunday. She's perfectly doing awesomely fine. Healed, completely healed. And they're going to document this. The physicians are going to document this. Completely healed. Why does God do some healing that way and some healing the other way? You know, the other way is he heals us ultimately. That is the moment we die from the grill of the Mack truck or cancer. I mean, who cares? The ultimate healing is when he calls us home.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study with a familiar title, The Truth Shall Make You Free. It's a look at John chapter 8 and verses 31 through 47. We'll have to pick up with more of this study on our next edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Meanwhile, you can get an audio copy of this study if you get in touch with us right away. You can either call us at area code 909-393-7100, or you can visit us at calvaryCCH.org. As a matter of fact, you can get a lot of information when you visit us online. Everything from events and service times here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills to other things happening with our many outreaches. That's calvaryCCH.org. Also remember that Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial contributions. We invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially. You can send a one-time gift or become a regular contributor. No gift is too large or too small. Here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, remember you can always easily find it on our website, at calvaryCCH.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.